for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM. Stream at listenlikealocal.com or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
And good evening, everyone, for another edition of PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on the Powell County Sports Network. Here on WSKV 104.9, this is David Faulkner along with Ken Simon bringing you all the local sports news for the week. And as we are entering week number three, I believe, now of spring sports. And we have concluded with all of our other activities for the season. And everything going fairly well as far as the COVID issue is happening. So we'll go quickly to our COVID report here at the beginning of the show.
Again, we always go back to the Saturday numbers. So this will be the April the 17th numbers. There were four new cases. Sunday the 18th, there was one new case. And on Monday, April the 19th, there were eight new cases. That made an active total of 39 cases. There have been a total case count of 1,174. 1,123 had recovered and 12 unfortunate deaths. Again, that gets us through Monday. And then on Tuesday, there were five new cases. Seven people had met the criteria for recovery, so the active numbers still remained basically at 37. And then today's numbers for Powell County, three new cases, two individuals met the criteria for recovery. So there are 38 total active cases here in Powell County. That brings it to 1,182. Total case count, 1,132 have recovered. Powell County is still in the red zone, if you will. A 34.7 incidence rate. What's kind of interesting at this point is there are now several counties surrounding us that are in the red. Wolf County, Morgan County, Menifee County, and even Bath County here in the area. I believe I counted there were 13, I think,
so
counties.
So up from seven a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, in the red. Three that are actually in the green, less than 1% or zero case count. We still have several oranges around us, Montgomery, Clark, and Estill. And then when you go a little bit further east, Lee, Breathitt, McGoffin, they go back to yellow. When you look at the state numbers, the incidence rate at this point is 3.39%. The total case count positives, 438,927.
So what did the Kentucky's numbers come out the day they released those for?
I didn't get today's numbers. I did not see today's numbers.
Okay. I know they're not releasing them as often on the state numbers, but looks like that. I know they had predicted a little bit of a spike, but really these numbers don't look like a terrible hit on a new surge. But I do think our numbers are elevated. Just maybe a better term than a spike.
Well, I think at this point, are we going on basically our third week of being in the red, if not our fourth
third
week?
Third or fourth week, yeah.
Yeah, at this point, you know, we're still in that 30%.
Haven't moved much.
Yeah, that 30% incidence rate and haven't moved a lot. You're exactly right. So, I mean,
But we did get as high as, what, 47 or so? 40?
Correct, yes.
Yeah, we got out in the upper 40s, and now we're still in the upper 30s and kind of staying right there. We're not really budging a lot, so... Again, Powell County still with several incidents.
The fact that we're hovering around that 37 active cases, that's still a lot, obviously a lot.
It is, and we've been at this number for it, where we are now for almost probably 3 weeks.
Yeah.
We had the initial hit. That was around right after, regional tournament. And then since then, it's been pretty much all of the spring sports season. We've been in the red here in Powell County.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And what's interesting about these numbers is the fact that we've obviously had spring break in the county as far as the school district. So not sure if any of those cases are related to that. Obviously, we had this before, but at the same time, it makes you wonder where are these new cases coming from, if that was someone going on vacation, and or if it's still just here in the county, in a sense, and now family members are affecting other family members, that kind of thing.
Yeah, these are one of those incidents, I think, that they could be coming from a couple different places locally. But there are some local infections, for sure. So, regardless, we should not be letting our guard down. We should be remaining very very much active as far as the protocols are concerned, with the masking, the distancing, the sanitizing. All that's going to be necessary. Again, the vaccines are great. Or I say great, with Johnson & Johnson's on hold. Seven cases now with showing the women with blood clotting, and one of those incidents here in Powell County. So, you know, we've taken a little bit of a hit as far as the numbers of vaccines going out, but it is good to see the folks from the government shutting down vaccines if they show any problems. So I know we talk about that a lot off the air, where still a lot of people are concerned about possibilities of problems with the vaccines as we're going forward. So that probably, I don't know if it eases anybody's tension or makes it even worse when they do shut one down. Again, we're talking seven cases and millions of vaccines, which sounds small unless, like I said, one of those instances was right here in Powell County. That's nationally. So that when it hits close to home, you see it a little bit differently.
Yeah, and I think, too, when it comes to the Johnson & Johnson, once that happened, I think people who were lined up to become vaccinated, at that point, they're stepping back saying, I might put it on hold a little bit longer, even though they may not have been signed up for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. You know, again, anytime you have that, anytime you have that, it causes people to pause and have a little bit of concern, in a sense, under those circumstances. But I think Dr. Fauci has mentioned that they're actually looking for Johnson & Johnson to be back available. Now, again, whether or not people want to take that chance or not is, you know, obviously up to them. But at the same time, I think that they feel like they've jumped through the necessary hoops, if you will, in order to get back on the market.
And the one thing about the seven was most, I won't say all, because I think the Powell County case didn't have any pre-existing conditions. The other six, that what I understand, I think almost all of those had some pre-existing issues going forward, but then our one issue with the Johnson & Johnson here locally had no pre-existings. So we'll probably get more data out there. Again, the longer the vaccines go on, the more data you get, the better it is. Again, United States is slow to release medications normally. Other countries release it quicker. I think the FDA does a pretty good job on checking to make sure of the safety, the efficiency, and the less addictive drugs out there. They do a pretty good job with what they do on governing. And when there is a problem, I guess, like this one, shut it back down. Again, we are in our first segment here. We're going to have Coach Frank Spencer and part of our next segment. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Also got some other good local news. We've got a college signing we want to talk about a little bit as well here in a few minutes. And then also get you recapped on the Powell County baseball and Powell County softball here in the next hour.
Yeah, let me say this real quick, too, before we go to that commercial break, is that, you know, as an observational perspective, there are still enough people in our community, when they are out in public, who are not necessarily masking up and or even social distancing. Now, I understand that at times it's difficult, but it still doesn't mean that you can't wear your mask. And I understand, with the exception of today, we've had beautiful weather, warm weather. It's felt great. People feel, you know, it's springtime. Everybody's, you know, tired of COVID, obviously. But at the same time, when you're going out, we still have to maintain as much social distancing as we can. If anything, at least masking up. And I get that we're outside, but at the same time, and I get that potentially the transmission is more or less, who knows, but at the same time, we have to do that. So again, when you're out in public, continue to mask up, continue to wash your hands and sanitize. Otherwise, that's potentially why our numbers are as high as they are, because everyone is getting out. But at the same time, like, oh, well, the weather's great. They're saying when we're outside venues as opposed to indoors, it's different, it's better. But is it? Again, well, the science is still not necessarily shown one way or the other, because it's still too new, if you
but
will.
But people definitely are relaxing more outdoors.
Way too much, in my opinion. Again, yeah. That's just an opinion.
And you know, when we go to these different places to play softball, I'm sure we'll talk to Frank about baseball maybe, but they may send you a long list of things that you have to abide by. But usually when you get to the facilities, they don't follow much of any of them. So it's kind of like, I'll say it this way, they got a lot of rules on paper. There's not a lot of enforcement going on when you get to some of these venues about whatever the rules are.
And in many respects, that's what's going to have to change, because the last thing we can afford to do, especially for our kids, and ultimately that's what I'm talking about. I'm not so much concerned about myself as much as I am our kids in the community. At that point, we have to protect them, not only to allow them to be in school, but obviously to be able to play the sports, because obviously we've had students who missed out on entire seasons, and the last thing I would want to do is to be a part of a situation where something that I did cost them that. Again, mask up, sanitize, wash your hands, and stay as distant as you possibly can.
Do your part. Keep us safe.
We'll do your part.
Take a break here on PCSN Live. You're on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Ever think about this? 83% of customers who buy from Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram buy again. The reason? Great deals, great service, and a simple way of doing business. March is Ram Truck Month, and the all-new 2021 Ram pickups are priced to sell. Come see why the Ram is the truck of the year for 2019, 2020, and 2021. Come see why Tanner is the best place to buy. Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, just off the Mountain Parkway in Stanton.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like Phone Smart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Appalachian Wireless has a question for you. Would you rather pay $650 or $66 for a smartphone? If you think this answer is simple, then the Appalachian Advantage Plan is for you. Pay less upfront for today's hottest smartphones, and then pay just a few dollars more every month on the monthly bill. Many smartphones are $5 a month or less after you factor in the $20 discount from the Advantage Plan compared to the contract offering. Better service, bigger savings. That's today's Appalachian Wireless. Payment agreement required. See store for details.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. We are going to be joined here shortly with Coach Frank Spencer. He is the head coach of the Powell County High School baseball team. So I guess without further ado... How you doing, Frank?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
See, we got it. So good. I did everything right over here. So it's always good to hear our callers because sometimes I mess this thing up. So are you glad you're not playing tonight, first of all?
Yeah, I went out to the field this morning on my planning and drug it and just about froze to death. So I know a couple of teams around us are playing tonight, and I texted a couple of coaches, and we were like, Josh, if you guys are going to freeze out there, he's like, yeah, it'll be interesting. So,
well, I will say this, though. Go ahead.
You go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you remember starting back when we were in March, starting our seasons prior to COVID, this was a normal kind of March evening, correct?
Oh yeah, for sure. We've been out on the field, you know, early February, you know, maybe late January in this kind of weather. But after a few beautiful weekends, beautiful days at the ballpark, it feels like it's the Arctic tundra out there today.
Haven't we got soft in the COVID times with a late start?
Yeah, I agree.
I think maybe something the KHSA could look at is maybe just keeping this late start going, because this has been a pretty good spring start of the season. Again, we've had some spoiling types of weather going on.
Yeah, for sure. I've enjoyed it. That's for sure. We haven't had many, you know, knock on wood, weather cancellations or anything like that. So we've been able to play all but just a couple of games so far. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Well, that's awesome. My guy Ken's got a couple of questions for you over here, so I'm going to let him fire at you.
Yeah, at this point, your team is 3-7 on the season. You got a nice win last night against Wolf County, 12-2. Let's talk about your players first and your roster as far as the makeup of your team. Obviously, unfortunately, didn't have an opportunity to play last year. So kind of segue as far as the players that you actually have. Who some of your starting players are and position players, that kind of thing, and what you kind of have with your roster so far?
Well, we have 23 players on our roster currently, and I believe we have 8 juniors and seniors total. We are a very, very youthful team, but youth and talent are two things totally different. So I believe we have a very talented team. We have a couple of guys that are freshmen and sophomores who play a lot of minutes, you know, and we depend on them a lot in all facets of the game. And our older individuals, we have a couple of guys that step in and take on roles that maybe would have been different had we not had so many talented freshmen. But that's one thing that I think that we have going good for us is we've got guys that have accepted that role that they have. Whether it be, you know, pinch running, late game defensive subs. We have a couple guys that can pinch hit toward the end of games. We try to utilize everybody on our team as much as possible and try to highlight their strengths that could help us win baseball games. And we've struggled to this point so far, but, you know, I'm going to credit all that to just, you know, we're not playing to the ability that I know that we can. So a couple of losses there got away from us that we should have had. But, you know, that's baseball, so things change on every pitch. We make youthful mistakes, and, you know, that's what happens sometimes when you have not that much experience out there on the field. We returned 2 players that have hit in a varsity lineup before this year. So pretty much everybody we got is a brand-new face.
So let's talk about a couple of those players then as far as, you know, some of these freshmen that you have that are getting those starts. Who are some of those players, and what can you tell us, like, about them, how they've developed in such a young period of time, basically?
The guys we have at that freshman and sophomore level, they play a lot of baseball. You know, they'll play their season for their school team, and then they'll go and play, you know, 50, 60 games in the summertime. They'll play all the way up until November. So, you know, they have a lot of experience playing in big baseball games, but just not at the varsity baseball level. Cam Del Rosario, he's our leading hitter and leading offensive player currently. He's hitting about 500. He went off to a hot start. He slowed off just a tad bit, but he's hit 2 home runs so far, leads the team in RBIs. Definitely a great talent, and people are already talking about him to be, you know, being a real special player. And he's a great kid, too. He works hard. He comes to practice every day. He puts his head down. Great personality. A couple other guys that we depend on. Austin Begley. He is probably our go-to guy on the mound. He's the guy that we have that can compete with some of the better teams on our schedule. He's got a lot of velocity. He can climb up there toward the 80-mile-an-hour mark as a freshman with a really good hook as a curveball. He does struggle a little bit throwing strikes every now and then, but, you know, a lot of young guys do. We start a freshman at third base. That's L.W. Napier. He's come on as a bit of a surprise to us. We didn't anticipate that, you know, a guy like L.W. would come in and hit as good as he is, but the kid puts the ball in play. He had five RBIs in our game last night. He hits the baseball pretty hard. And we also depend on a lot of our young guys to come in and pitch a game here and there, a couple innings here and there. So, a guy like Ethan King, he pitches for us. Sometimes we have a good group of sophomore guys, too, that have stepped in. You know, we have Hayden Kane, who is another guy that's hit a home run for us already. He's one of our go-to guys on the mound as well. But we're pretty youthful. But at the same time, we've got a good mix of youth and some of these older guys that have kind of stepped in. They've been in the program for a while, so they kind of know what we expect as a coaching staff and kind of, you know, carry over that culture and try to teach the younger guys, because we have so many, how we do things here in Powell County and what it really means to wear, you know, that jersey, that name across your chest. It's hard for young guys to understand that, and these older guys are doing a really good job so far of making sure that that is known to those the young ones.
So even as far as that is concerned, obviously, you know, if you're a senior or something, you're not necessarily getting that start. Obviously, you kind of mentioned that they're embracing the role of them possibly coming in as a pinch runner, pinch hitter, you know, even coming in relief or something. How are they actually embracing that role and being able to lead those freshmen? Because obviously it would be a very difficult situation, right? You're thinking, I'm a senior, I deserve, just based on my classification, if you will, to be in that position. But obviously talent, as you mentioned, kind of outweighs that in a sense. So how are those older players kind of balancing that and that team, you know, to keep that team chemistry kind of intact?
Well, one thing I tell them, you know, I tell them up front, I'm honest with them, I don't beat around the bush. You know, I let them know, you know, this is who we're going with today. You're going to get your opportunity later on. And I don't lie to them. I make sure they get that opportunity. But for the most part, you know, I tell them, you don't have to like it. And to be honest with you, they don't. But, you know, we're building a culture full of team-first players. And I understand how hard it is for some of these guys to sit in the dugout and watch and wait their turn. But in the end, we're trying to win baseball games, and we're trying, as a coaching staff, to put the best players on the field we possibly can, and the best possible combination of players. And oftentimes that means we've had 9 games, 10 games so far, and I bet we've used 7 or 8 different starting lineups. So those guys do still get plenty of opportunities, but it depends on who's pitching, depends on who we're playing, and the different situations. So we want to make sure that they still stay interested and still understand that they're still fighting for a role. We rolled the ball out this weekend, you know, after we've dropped a few tough games in a row there. And we got together at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday morning. We went on a little hike. We did a little soul searching, and we had some guys that stepped up and showed up. And hopefully, you know, that kind of turned the page for us. And we had 2 big JV wins on Monday against Lexington Christian. We turned the ride around a day later, had a really good win against Wolf County. And everybody on our roster had a hand in both of those wins. You know, there's not one kid on our team that was in a uniform that didn't have a hand in all 3 of those wins. So we're still trying to keep everybody interested. It is a tough task as a coach, because, you know, I love all these kids. They're literally like my sons, because, to be quite honest with you, I see them more than my own sons and my own daughter. So I keep that in the back of my head too. You know, these are kids, they want to play. We still got to give them their opportunities to take that spot. So every day is a competition for me, and they know it. So they got to come out and play. We always tell them that, you know, if you come out and you practice soft one day, you're not going to get that opportunity for a while. So holding everybody accountable, doing small details, things like that, that's how they get their spot. And every day when we make out a lineup card, we have conversations. We make sure that whoever we put in there is somebody that you know, everybody on the team has seen them work, and it's not given to anybody, regardless of grade.
Let me ask you a philosophical question real quick, Frank, and you could actually put it in practical use if you want. When you play a typical JV game like you played with Christian the other day, are you pulling your varsity starters who are still freshman, sophomore, JV age? Are those kids still playing down and get some more experience that way?
Yes. When we play JV only games, every sophomore and freshman on the team is in uniform. When we usually try to schedule, we've got about 16 JV games on the schedule that are only JV only games, and we have a few doubleheaders against some really good competition. And usually what we try to do is we play the best ones there, the guys that we feel like can help us win that game. And then, but to be honest with you, you know, we found ourselves putting just about everybody on the JV roster in the game. We had a couple of guys that...
Go ahead. Go finish your thought there.
Oh, we had a couple of guys that, you know, didn't even start either game and then come through big for us in that second game against Lexington Christian. Dawson Estep, for example, he plays JV a lot more than anything else, and he come through with a big 2 RBI single in, you know, the fifth inning to tie the game. Things like that happen every single day we play a JV game.
No, the reason I asked the question was, I know some people will say, well, the kid starts varsity, he shouldn't be playing JV too. Now, I look at it this way for your group, for an example. I know you're building for the future while you're still playing this season out. So if you're if you're going to be doing that, playing for the future while you're playing the season out, you almost have to do what you're doing, in my opinion. I think it's a good choice that you're making is what I was kind of getting at.
Yeah, and the whole reason behind it is, you know, we got to make sure that every single player on our roster is ready to go at any given time, you know, because we may get a phone call tomorrow and say, I've got five players that are quarantined because the kids in their class got COVID.
Yeah, bingo.
We move people around in practice. We try to make sure that we're at least three deep at every position, and we truly, honestly feel comfortable with anybody on our roster putting them in the starting lineup in a varsity game, and we can compete. So we've got a lot of problems, but they're good problems to have, and they're problems that, honestly, championship teams have. You know, I use an example of, you know, a team like Madison Southern or a lot of those Lexington schools. They've got guys that sit around and wait and wait and wait a few years before they get in the game, before they get, you know, starting every day. But, you know, we have to be getting to a point to where we are competing for regional championships every single year like we were back in, you know, the mid-2010s.
Yeah.
You know, and
back.
You have to hack. Yeah. And, you know, from years back, you know, we're a program that people expect to be a very good team year in and year out. And it still shows, you know, our record's struggling right now, but when we show it to play a game, we're getting their number one or number two pitcher every time just because, you know, it says Powell County on the schedule.
I think that is a tradition here that, I think Powell County always has been a regional contender, and I think you're always going to have that. I think, again, this year, I think Powell County is no different. You may go in with the record with only five wins, for an example. I'm not saying you'll do that, but if you go in with five wins, you still probably make it to region. You're still going to scare somebody when you go play.
Yeah, that's one thing we keep telling these kids, man. It's a slow process.
Yeah.
You know, I could care less what that regular season record is, but at the end of the season, when tournament time comes around, we're looking to hold two trophies.
Yep, totally agree.
We want to make sure that whoever is on our side of the bracket, they do not want to draw up because we're a scary team. You know, we've not played well. That's just the bottom line. But I know the talent that we have from top to bottom, and I know that we're going to knock some big dogs off here soon. It's happening. I can feel it.
We'll keep you on here, but we're all going to step away for a break, but we'll be right back with you here in just a second. Is that okay?
That's fine.
I'll be back in a moment here on PCSN Live.
Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437. or find more information at HinkleContracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
When a health crisis threatened our community, the healthcare heroes at Clark Regional Medical Center answered the call. As we move forward, life might look different, including healthcare, but there's one thing that won't change: the quality of care you've always relied on at Clark Regional Medical Center. We are again offering a range of healthcare services, from preventive screenings and physicals to quality of life procedures, to help you make the most of every moment moving forward. Our entire team is working hard to ensure a safe place of care and a healthier community for all of us. For more information, visit clarkregional.org.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live. Again, we are being joined by head baseball coach Frank Spencer of the Powell County Pirates baseball. And Ken's got a couple more questions for you there, Frank.
Yeah, Coach, you kind of mentioned this in a sense as far as the younger players that you have on this team that have game experience as far as travel ball, things along that line leading into the season. So looking back at the middle school, even little league in a sense, do you kind of have a foot or a pulse as far as like player development, even going into the middle school and beyond as far as a feeder program and what that looks like going forward for the Pirates?
Sometimes when the middle school plays at home, actually most times when the middle school plays at home, I'm right there in the dugout with the guys. I want them to know who I am. I don't want them to see my face and my personality. And I love staying in the dugout and watching those middle school guys compete. There's a lot of great players down there right now, and Coach Robinson does a really great job of making sure that, whatever we're doing at the high school level is also being done at the middle school level, same verbiage we use for play calls, things like that. And just making sure that it's a smooth transition from, once those eighth graders move up to the high school level, they know exactly how things are going to be ran. As far as, we have a couple of assistant coaches at the high school level that are that run our travel ball program here. And, we have the Eastern Kentucky Baseball Club, which covers about 15 teams here in the county. Every team is made up of, the majority of Powell County kids. They do get kids from other counties, but that's the way travel baseball works nowadays. As far as Little League goes, I'm heavily involved with, the Little League Parks and Rec Board. Eric Briscoe and all those guys do a great job of making sure that those kids have, adequate facilities, that they get the best coaches, to make sure their baseball experience is fun, because, that's where it all starts. That's where the love of the game, begins.
How much is the city taking over with the Parks and Recs over the league? How much will that affect, you think, or and possibly positively? I know they spent a lot of money this year on redoing the fields. How much do you think that'll affect baseball in the county?
I'm hoping it's going to be great because, the advertisements are awesome when it comes to, they're paying upwards of $50,000 to redo both Little League fields, and I don't know if you've been over there in a while, but they look fantastic.
They do. I concur.
I've already put in the work to try to get some quotes on them doing the same kinds of things to our baseball field. So we're going to try to see how that goes. But, hopefully, with great facilities, you're going to gain more interest in terms of players that actually want to come and be a part of something like that. And even at the youth level, you can go out to the park during, any day of the week, and there's seven or eight teams practicing on every field. Everything is being used. You have guys over behind the baseball field in the grass hitting ground balls and teaching small fundamental things that are absolutely important to learn at that age. And we've got a lot of former players that I've actually coached that are coaching Little League games right now or Little League teams. They come to me and say, "Hey, coach, what do you want me to teach these guys at this level?" And I'm like, "Well, you need to make sure they have fun first and foremost, because if they don't like the game and they're not having fun, they're not going to play hard. And then, you know, we talk a little bit about the skill sets and things like that. But, you know, that all comes as you get older. Different age levels have different things that they should know before they move on. I do have pretty good relationships with a lot of Little League coaches. And once Little League starts up, you'll be seeing me over there every chance I get, watching games, talking to parents, and making sure that everybody in our county, I can have as good of a relationship with them as I can. That way, you know, 20 years down the road when I'm still kicking around baseballs for a living, then I can make sure that all of our community knows what they're getting from me. And that's the thing I pride myself on. I don't want any secrets. I don't want anything to get in the way of my relationship with my players.
Yeah, I think it is crucial. I really think this too, Frank, is as far as baseball is concerned, with that last question Ken started, it is probably the best feeder program, bar none, in the county.
Yeah, I would say you are correct on that. We just have a lot of individuals. I mean, there are hundreds of adults
and
they just love the game of baseball. And baseball is a game that you have to love to play. You know, when people say that, you know, I can't stand to watch baseball games, because a lot of them don't understand the game within the game. And that kind of turns people away from baseball sometimes. But, you know, everybody grows up, you know, play catch with your folks and watching baseball games. And it's just, it's America's pastime. So it's America's sport. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, I know I love baseball. I'm always a baseball guy. I will have to say, though, once I started coaching fast pitch softball, that game is a whole lot quicker with baseball inside of it anyway. If that makes any sense.
I would much rather. I watch a lot of college baseball more than Major League Baseball. I'm a big Reds fan, but, yeah. You know, you can't hardly find a Reds game on TV.
Oh, you can't.
I would 100% love to watch slow or fast pitch softball in college than a college baseball game. Those women, they get after it, man, I'm telling you.
And it's only about an hour and 20 minutes, we're done. You know,
it's quick.
You know,
we're lucky to get a 5-inning game in three hours.
I know sometimes you're a big fan of Major League Baseball and all these new rules they throw in. How many rules last year to speed up the game, or normal fast pitch softball type rules? You know, these have been fast pitch softball been doing it for years. Now they want to flip them over, some of those same rules they want to go over to baseball, which helps speed up their game. And I get it. Now, when I go to a game, Frank, if you feel the same way, when I go to a baseball game, I don't mind how slow it is.
I don't either.
And when I'm watching a game, though, I do want to kind of watch it and fast forward through the commercials and get on with the game. But when I'm at the game, it's all about the atmosphere.
Yep. It's just, you know, when I wake up in the morning and it's game day, and I know it's game day, especially a home game, there's just something about it that I cannot wait for that score day to be over with so I can go over to the field. I love getting the paint sprayer out, paint the lines on the field, raking the mound, getting on the golf cart, dragging the field. There's just nothing like it. I mean, I'm instantly in good mood as soon as I walk out of that school building and head to a baseball field.
Hey, wait till you get 27 years in, you can retire and still do that. Yeah, that's really fun.
They'll catch me out there at noon.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Well, on one hand, you can tell. I mean, honestly, nothing but respect for me, you know, towards you in a sense, as far as one delving down into the middle school ranks and beyond, in a sense, to have your hand, you know, the pulse of what's coming up and being involved and letting those kids know that you're there for them, whether it's a player and or even a coach at the little league level. The fact that you are a part of that, you know, even potentially doing coaches clinics in a sense, as far as like letting them know the terminology and this is what I am looking for going forward. But to be able to do that, but your enthusiasm is contagious. You know, even, you know, coming to meet you in a sense before a game to get your lineup, I can already see that energy within you in a sense that you're pumped and you're ready to go. And again, and it gets, you can't help but get excited. And I know your players being around you in a sense, they sense that pride that you have in a sense of putting on that uniform and let's go out there, boys, and let's get one for the home team here. So again, I think it's great the culture that you're creating here in a short period of time. And with that being said, what does the future look like here going forward in your mind as far as what Pirate Baseball will be?
Well, in my opinion, and I'm a humble guy, and I don't like to predict, you know, we're going to win 20 games a year, we're going to win a regional championship, but with the talent that we have, even at the, you know, the sixth grade level on up through that, through the high school currently, it's not out of the question, you know, we could be bringing home anywhere from 3 to 4 regional championships in the next 6 years. And that's just me being completely honest. We pride ourselves in competing against the best competition. So, you know, we're gonna schedule tough games. You know, we're not gonna, without being disrespectful, we're not gonna play the teams that, you know, we're gonna beat in 3 innings every single night. That's not how we do things. That's not how I played. We, you know, here in the next couple of years, you're going to see us travel west and play a lot of the Lexington schools. You may get a couple of games out of the Louisville area. We're going to go play the big dogs in the 15th and the 16th regions, because that's the teams that you want to compete with. And by the time the district and region comes around, you want to see everything there is to see. There's not going to be any surprises. You're not going to see anybody on the mound that's going to throw harder than what you've already seen. Yep. You're not going to see hitters. You're not going to have to pitch around guys. You're not going to be in an atmosphere to where these teams that have competed for state championships before have already been in those programs. And that's kind of where I see us going, is competing with teams that the word state championship is nothing new to them. You know, when you talk about state championships here in a lot of different sports, you know, people might shrug it off and think that, you know, you're being kind of not realistic, but I'm going to be that's something that's always in the back of my head, is somebody has got to be the first to win a state championship.
But why can't
it be us?
True.
Agreed.
Hey, I got a quick favor for you real quick. You're talking about going west. Maybe try to talk to the coach at Frederick Douglass if you get a game scheduled, maybe them coming up here. You got a couple of Powell County ties to that Douglass team. Yeah. Lee J. Faulkner's son, Gavin, he's a junior pitcher, first baseman, and then also Jack Gross, who is Jessica Ramsey, or Paul and Sharon Ramsey's grandson. Got a cousin out of Craig's boy, plays, I think, middle school, right? So, again, Jack and Gavin both are starters of that Douglass team this year.
Yeah, that Douglass team is ranked, they're definitely in the top 25. I think they're ranked 13th as of today.
Yeah, they were 5th. They took a little couple of big tumbles here in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I've sat down and actually had conversations with Eddie Brooks before at our annual coaches clinic. We actually had him on a varsity schedule 2 years ago. We were going to try to play him in a couple of JV games as well last year, before things got hectic.
Yeah,
and then the year before that, their second year as a program, we had him scheduled for a varsity game, and then things happened with cancellations, and either we or them had to move a game. But they're a team that come up quick, you know, just like their football team has. They're,
agreed.
They got a lot of talent. They've got, you know, 3 or 4 Division I baseball players on the team paired with 3 or 4 Division I football players on their team. So,
right now they got 2 D1 commits and 1 coming.
Athletes.
Yep.
All over the field.
Yeah, that is correct. I watched them play Danville this weekend. Danville, I think, is ranked, what, 2nd or 3rd, 4th?
Yep, they're in the top 5.
Yeah, and now that club, Frank, 6 players, D1, 5 of those pitchers on 1 squad. Yep. We saw the 6'7 kid, or I saw the 6'7 kid pitch Saturday, throwing about 95. Real deal, buddy.
And that's the teams that you're going to see us start playing here in the next couple of years. Once we get our feet back underneath us after the COVID shutdown, we get a couple of good off seasons in there and get our guys into playing shape. You know, these young guys, they've played against that competition before. They show up. You know, they're playing their age group, and they're winning championships every weekend.
Yeah, they.
This group down in Tennessee.
I was going to say the group you've got coming has. All too familiar with some of these same kids. So, what you got coming in the future? I know we talk about the future a lot around here, but you got some pretty good young players coming up.
Let me ask you a quick question here, as far as like your schedule going forward for this season? Obviously, the district games are big going forward. Any teams, though, as far as like, you know, ones you've kind of circled going forward that you're looking forward? Not that you're not looking forward to each one of the games, but I'm saying, is there any particular teams or anything that you kind of circled in a sense, can't wait to see that matchup?
Pretty much any regional game. We always keep them circled. You know, we got Perry Central two times coming up. They're right up there with the best in the region. They've got, you know, Coach Willis is a great guy. One of my best friends. We talk, you know, three or four times a week. Estill County is always one we circle. We have Hazard this weekend with them and Rowland. A big. Hopefully it doesn't rain, but we're going to have a good day out of the ballpark this Saturday.
What are those times, real quick, Frank?
We play Rowland at 11 o'clock, and then Rowland and Hazard will play each other, and then we will play Hazard in the third and final game that day. That third game may start around 3:30, 4 o'clock.
Okay, I'll just on the schedule says both of them are 11. We just want to clarify that for the folks look at the KHSA schedules.
Oh yeah, that's probably my bad.
Oh, that's okay. Happened.
We dropped a tough one to Knott County early on. Tie ball game in the seventh inning. Leadoff runner gets the third. We strike out two. We drop a fly ball in the outfield. They score the winning run in the bottom of the seventh inning. They've pretty much swept through our region so far. Nobody's beat them. But, you know, we were right there. You know, that was one of our first games of the season, too. You know, we're still making rookie mistakes with teams that are at the top of our region right now. So, we also have Letcher Central toward the end. We've got Montgomery County twice, who has just broken the top 25. Coach Varney over there has done a great job, as everyone knew he would. Me and him, we talk pretty much daily about different things. But I'd like to see us compete against those guys for sure. And then we got GRC twice. I'm going to take our boys over there to see that brand-new immaculate baseball field and complex they got over there.
Is there turf as well?
Yep.
Okay. So baseball and softball went turf.
Yep. And then they'll come here for another triangle game on a Saturday with Morgan County. But just, you know, those teams that are historically good, tradition-rich teams, those are always the ones that I want to win, you know, because that's how you make your mark as a baseball team, is you got to beat teams that you probably shouldn't beat.
Yeah, in this region, the Knotts, the Hazards, the Perrys, you know, at times, Breathitt County, can that run out a good team or two?
Breathitt County's got a really good baseball team this year.
Yeah, I heard that. I've heard that, yeah, about them. So, but you got
a really good team.
You kind of always know who the strong top five or six are, and I really always think Powell County, as well as Estill, is always in the mix, that top five, six, eight teams in the region.
Yeah, I agree with that. If you were to make a top five right now, nobody's going to put us in it. But I think that I kind of like it that way. That way nobody sees us coming. I honestly think when we put it all together, we're going to be a tough team to beat in the regional tournament.
See, I don't see how people don't put you at least top eight, knocking on the door of the top five every year just because of Powell County tradition.
Yeah, I can see that too. People get caught up in a record.
Yeah.
You know, we've lost to a couple teams we should have beat. But it is what it is. That's baseball. You know, you can't win them all. You ain't going to lose them all. But you got to be able to just move your feet forward and play the next game.
I always say this. If you make a tough schedule, like I know you have, if you go 500, you've had a pretty good season.
Yeah. That you know, the goal is to always win the game in front of you. We try not to look forward in a game. We want to win the game that we're playing that day.
Yep.
Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it affects the game after that, but, you know, that's the way you got to play.
Well, I wish you the best of luck going forward. You got, again, you got Bath County tomorrow night coming up. Ken's planning on bringing you that game from here at the Powell County High School. And then Saturday, come out and see the Powell County Pirates play a doubleheader against Rowan and Hazard. That should be some good baseball all day long there at the Powell County High School.
Well, and you forgot Lee County squeezed in there on Friday.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lee County on Friday.
At Lee County.
At Lee. Go Pirates. That kind of screws your pitching up, don't it?
well, not really. We're lucky enough to have a lot of arms that can take care of a lot of games in the week before, so we can, you know, play our big games on the weekend.
It's always tough.
Make sure we get our absolute best.
play four in a row, it's always tough to get all those counts exactly right, correct?
You are correct.
I'm glad I left for about it.
Coach Rick Riggs is our guy that with the pitching stats. So he's on the ball with that. He knows every single pitch. He tracks every single pitch, location, strike ball, foul ball, called strike. If they put it in play, where they hit it to, he tracks every single pitch for us. So at the end of the game, he'll give me a sheet, and he'll tell me exactly how many days rest each pitcher needs, and it makes my job easier.
I tell you what, it's always great to have. Good talking with you tonight, Frank. Best of luck going forward, and hope to see you on the baseball field soon. Again, I do want to mention this real quick while we've got you on here. As of plans of right now, Powell County will be hosting baseball and softball district. That's still in place, correct?
Yes, as far as I know.
So I just kind of throw that little cookie out there to let y'all listen to it. So, again, best of luck throughout the rest of the season, Frank.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We'll take a break here on PCSN Live here on WSKV.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
Attorney Teddy Flint represents people in personal injury cases. Call for a free consultation. Remember, Teddy Flint only gets paid if you do. Attorney Teddy Flint, sponsoring radio broadcast of the Powell County Pirates. This is an advertisement. Court costs may be the responsibility of the client.
Your Stanton Ace Hardware has geared up for the biggest garden season in history. They've been reserving product for months to fulfill all the needs of their wonderful, loyal customers. They have an abundant stock of canning supplies, plants, and seed. Stop by Stanton Ace Hardware for all your lawn and garden needs. They practice safe social distancing, and masks are a must. Ace, the helpful place.
Sorry about that. I was talking like I try to not do as much.
Off the air like we always do.
Well, we always do. Again, we're going to kind of cover up some recaps here of the past week in baseball and softball and give you some updates on what's happened.
Well, let's just kind of go back to baseball real quick. Again, I'd like to thank Coach Frank Spencer, the boys' head baseball coach. Again, great for him to spend the time with us or whatever else as far as the direction of where this team is going. Again, they have a 3-7 record. There were several games, that were winnable games in a sense. And you know as well as I do, David, records are seemingly important, but at the same time, as long as you're winning in district, right, in a sense, as far as your placement in district to get out of the district and get to the region, but as long as you're improving as the season goes on, that's probably the most important aspect of it. You know, yes, everybody wants to win, but you know as well as I do, There are teams that have losing records that come in no matter what level you're talking about and can make a run in a sense and get on that big streak. So as long as your teams are improving along those lines and making the progress, that's really what matters.
Well, this is a team I think like Frank was talking about. This is a team that they're 3-7. They have played some really competitive ball games. This team in the end of the season, if they keep progressing on the trend, I think they will, they're going to be a lot to handle for a lot of opponents on the baseball diamond. Now, again, it gets all back to the pitching mound. If you've got two or three studs or four to be competitive with, then you can make a run at regional titles. I'm not sure where our pitching is. Haven't seen them. We've only really mentioned a couple names. I think they're probably maybe a year or two away from really being able to say, okay, we're in the mix for a regional championship. That being said, this team, I believe, offensively would be pretty good. And again, when you're talking about a lot of freshmen playing, you're still playing against 18, 19-year-old kids. There's still a big gap between the talent levels of those. But I tell you what, the future for Powell County baseball is very bright.
Yeah, it's definitely in good hands. Let's kind of segue, in a sense, over to girls softball. David Faulkner, the girls head softball coach, a nice victory last night against Lee County. A 10-5 win prior to that had dropped three losses in a sense. But the way that your team continues to improve, one of those games against Berea, you ended up losing 9-8, and then a game that was away, and then the game against Jackson County away 10-8 before you come back and get the win. Let's talk briefly about the those two games against Berea and Jackson County, and then even Lee last night.
First of all, those games, when I look at them on the schedule, those are games that are winnable, in my opinion, for us. Now, both teams hit the ball a little bit better than what I thought they would hit the ball. So we made too many mistakes in both games to get the wins. However, our bats have started to come to life a little bit in those games. Again, we scored, had an early lead against Berea and had a bad inning. Did the same thing against Jackson County. Had an early lead. Actually, it was five. We had a 5-0 lead, 5-1, 5-3, and then they took the lead on a 5-run inning, 7 or 8-7, and were able to add on two later. We picked up a 1-7 and left two on there in the top of the 7th inning. So we are really close, a couple hits away from getting those wins with Berea and Jackson City, Jackson County, respectively. The game last night, I thought the approach of our hitters are starting to really listen, I think, going the other way, going up the middle, going with the pitches. Once you start doing that, I think you can really start hitting the softball. And I think it's the same, regardless if you're talking about softball or baseball, you just can't try to pull every pitch. Those are kind of easy outs, in my opinion. We got Owsley County tomorrow, another district opponent coming up. And I tell you, by the way, Lee County, 8th grade pitcher, she's going to be special. She's one of their better hitters. They've got a freshman catcher. So they're going to be really tough the next couple of years. Going forward, not sure what Owsley County has. I know they're kind of on a rebuild with a new coach this year. But I know next week we got a tough schedule ahead of us. We play Wolf County up there on Monday. They're one of your top four in the region. And then play Estill on Thursday and Montgomery on Friday. And then go to Jackson City. I believe Jackson City and Breathitt on Saturday. So next week's going to be a really, really tough week for us. But hopefully if we just keep hitting the softball, maybe we'll surprise some people next week.
Yeah, we actually will have that Estill County game next Thursday, 5:30 start. We will have that on WSKV 104.9 for that particular game. I will say this, having watched your girls a couple of games here, I continue to see improvement. You continue to rotate players, about like Coach Frank Smitcher even talked about with him. You've got different players that can step in different roles, yeah, kind of switching it around a little bit to give yourself different options under different settings or whatever else. But I think your girls continue to improve. Obviously, a nice win last night. Let's see how they respond. Obviously, coming up against Owsley County coming up tomorrow night.
Yeah, Lee County has kind of been the one team that we've always looked at for the last several years. Obviously, Lee and us wind up in the 2-3 spot. And I tell the girls all the time, that's probably who you're going to play in the district tournament. So get used to seeing the same team. Again, last night, we were fortunate to hit the softball pretty good. They hit the ball well, too. So going forward, we had to make some plays. And defensively, we made a couple of good plays, really good plays. We just kind of hit a couple of miscues as well that cost us a couple of runs. But you can't give good teams extra outs. We talk about that all the time. But I was really proud of our girls last night. They seem like they step up in those pressure games. We'll see going forward if they continue to do that.
And obviously, under the circumstances, a long season, again.
Just beginning, yes.
Yeah, basically just beginning, still a long stretch. So I'll just even ask you going forward, besides the district games, any particular teams that you kind of, circled in a sense?
Well, Estill County is as good or better than a lot of people have thought they were going to be. They're number four in the state, at least number four. They still haven't been beaten. Emma Winkle is dominant in the circle for them. Perry County's got a really good team as well. Wolf County's going to be right there in the competition, as well as Knott, who knocked off Wolf in the All-A. You got to look at them. Letcher Central, really good hitting ball club. And I'm believing now Jackson City and Breathitt. I know both those two teams can hit. So that district between Wolf, Jackson City, Breathitt, whew, hello, And again, Hazard been very competitive. They beat us earlier in the season and really surprised me. We didn't hit the ball well at all. They hit, they ran, they're very athletic, very aggressive team. They may shock some people up there in that district as well with Hazard. It's an exciting season for us. Again, we're like kind of like Frank. We're kind of on the outside looking in. I think we were ranked earlier 9th, 10th in the region. That's low for me. But again, like you said, I like to surprise some folks. That's how you do it.
Exactly. That is what it is. So let me recap just real quick. We will be on the air tomorrow night, 5:30, as we will bring you the Powell County Pirates home game against Bath County. Again, start time at 5:30, so make sure that you tune in for that. And then we'll be back on the air next week as well as – let me look at my schedule as far as the boys looking possibly at the – 27th, a Menifee County game for the boys next week. And then, obviously, the girls, again, the other game next week will be against Estill County. So make sure you stay tuned to the Powell County Sports Network as we're bringing you at least one girls and one boys game each week.
And we'll just stay tuned to WSKV's coverage of Powell County Sports and also now Estill County Sports Network as well. So stay tuned here to WSKV for all your info as we step away from PCSN Live. Thanks for listening.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, so I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better, as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protech Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protech Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9344.
And welcome back. Again, we signed out, but we didn't because we thought we had one more commercial. Did forget one thing and didn't really forget, but I got off track a little bit. Congratulations to Macy Howe, who today signed her letter of intent with Transylvania University. Did that today at 4 o'clock. So to Macy and all those basketball fans out there, you guys send her a shout-out. Congratulations on Powell County High School's 2021 Hoops Star. Miss Macy Howe has now signed with Transylvania University there in Lexington. So, again, a shout-out to Mace. See you guys next week here on PCSN Live.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast.
104.9 WSKV. Pickup Country.
Welcome to the Tim White Bluegrass Show from Bristol, Tennessee, Virginia, the birthplace of country music.